turn in your scriptures to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 25. Psalm number 25, and then we'll turn over to the 69th Psalm and read some verses there also. A number of verses this morning that I want us to share together. And going to have a subject that we're not too fond of, and that's the subject of waiting. I don't know anybody that likes to wait, but the Scripture tells us that we're to wait upon the Lord and we're to follow His direction. And we'll see some things that we can learn while we're waiting upon Him. Psalm number 25, verse number 1 says, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed with transgress without cause. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. And on Thee do I wait all the day." Now turn over to the 69th Psalm. And we'll read verses number 3 through 6. Psalm number 69, verse number 3. David says, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from Thee. Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek Thee to be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel." Here we find David says that he is in his troubled life, and of course as a king he was troubled by many enemies and many of those that were against him. And he says here, "I'm weary of crying." And he says, "My throat is dry." And he tells us here that his eyes fail while he waits upon the Lord. We are a society today that wants everything right now. But David said here that all the day long I wait upon the Lord. And we are people today that are very impatient. And I just jotted down some things here, things that we wait for. And we don't like to wait for them. I hate to stand and wait for an elevator to come, because when I'm on the first floor, it's usually on the 20th floor. And it has to stop on every floor before it gets to my floor. And you sit there and you're waiting and waiting. You go to the post office, you wait. You go to the banks and wait. You gas up your car sometimes and wait. You have backed up traffic. You have traffic lights. You have stop signs. All those things bring us to a standstill, to a stopping, and that we are waiting. I put down here after yesterday, I wrote down, we wait on downloading files. The computer in the office, it crashed this week, and that's not good. And so Brother Nettie came out, and most of the day we were waiting. And that was just I guess it was a hard issue for me, because I don't know what to do to it. But he did some things to it and still didn't work, did something else, didn't work. And then he said, "I should have just done this to begin with." He went and got a new hard drive, put in it, and worked fine. But then you had to wait for all the stuff to download and all those things. Wait, wait, wait. We don't like to wait for planes. If you're taking a short trip, you can almost get there in a car by the time you do all the check-ins and all the waiting at the airports. We have waiting rooms at the doctor's offices and the hospital, and that's usually an extended waiting period of time that you don't really want to do. We have times we get sick, we have to wait for a hospital bed. We wait for a new job. We wait for a letter that's coming. We just are people that wait. Somebody that had a lot of time on their hands, they figured out that on an average day, a person will wait 62 minutes. I believe it's more than that. And then they go ahead and figure and said, that's 3 years of your life if you are 70. Well, that's a lot of waiting in a period of time. But the Lord tells us that we're to wait upon Him. Now, that's a good wait. But we still do not like to wait. We wait for everything. Fast food is not fast enough. It's almost like we expect folks to know what we want when we order it. Here it is. And we don't want to wait for it to be prepared and given to us. We are prone to say, Lord, give me patience. You know what the next statement of that is? I want it right now. I want patience, but God, I want it now. I don't want it later. I don't want to wait for it. I want it right now. How many of us have said of the morning, somebody talk to you or call you and say, how you doing? And I said, well, I'm up and at them. That means you're up and going. You're not waiting for anything. You're at the business and the job that's before you. But there is a biblical admonition. It says, blessed are all they that wait for Him. Blessed are they that wait for Him. Abraham waited. He waited 100 years before he had the promised seed of Isaac to be born. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness before God presented him to Israel as their deliverer. David waited for years after he was anointed king. He waited for years before the nation of Israel accepted him and knew him as their king. And even at that, there was a division among the people in his kingdom. Simeon in the New Testament waited patiently for the birth of Christ, we read in the Gospels. So we find ourselves waiting, even sometimes on good things, sometimes longer than we want to, but the Lord tells us that we're to wait upon Him. We can be assured that as we wait for the Lord, He has things prepared for us. He has things that's good for us, because nothing is ever done in the Lord's work, in the Lord's way, that is not good for us. And so we find ourselves in God's waiting room. We find ourselves patiently waiting for the things to transact in our life, for God to work out His will in our life. Sometimes it happens quickly, and sometimes it's like these that I just mentioned, Abraham, Moses, David, and Simeon. Sometimes it takes a long process to find the very things that God has for us. But as we wait upon the Lord, we can learn to do some things, and some things that will be very helpful to the child of God. These things we have probably thought of many different times. These things I have preached on many times, but never in the category of just waiting for the Lord to do something for us. I think it's very difficult for the Christian to wait to find the will of the Lord. Now, God has a will for every Christian in this building this morning. He has a perfect will for your life. He has a perfect will for my life. There are things that He desires and He wants us to do. There is also that permissive will that we so many times do out of the perfect will of God. And the Lord permits us to do some good things, but it's not as necessarily as good as the best thing that He has in store for us. And many times we get ahead of God. We use the cliche, we kick the door down, we go through the door. And sometimes we go ahead of God before He is ready for us to make certain moves. And the will of God is very important for every believer. There's a lot of Christians this morning that are living outside God's will, and they are not happy. They do not have the joy of the Lord that should be in their life. They do not have that peace and that satisfaction in their life that they're doing what really God wants them to do. I've had people tell me, I missed the will of God. I did not do what the Lord wanted me to. I knew how He was leading me, but I just did not think I could do that. And so now I look back on my life, I look back on the things that has transpired, I realize I missed the best things of life, and that's perfect will of God. And so it's very important to us as we are waiting to understand God even teaches us things in the waiting room. God teaches us how to handle the issues that arise in our life. God teaches us to take care of the things that come up so that somewhere down the line we'll be able to recall those things and be able to help someone else in their process of life that they're going through. And I want us to look at five or six things this morning and not be long. Everybody cringes when I say that because that's usually the longest time. But, I forgot to say, some people get tired of waiting for the end of the sermon. But it does come somewhere down the line. So I want to give you five or six things this morning about what we learn while we're waiting on God. While we're sitting still, the Bible says that we are to stand still and see the salvation of our God. He does not always want us to be moving. He does not always want us to be active. He does not always want us to do something just because we feel like we have to do something to please somebody else. Sometimes the Lord says, stop, be still, just wait. And that's more important than pleasing anyone else, is to please the Lord. When we're waiting on the presence of the Lord and the will of God, that gives us time to become better acquainted with Him. That gives us time to meditate upon His Word. Look over in Psalm number 37 and verse number 7. Psalm number 37, verse number 7. Rest in the Lord, here it comes, and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Probably I can say in my life, I'm very impatient. I want things done. If it needs to be done, just get it done, get it over with. And become very impatient in to wait. But here the scripture says, rest and wait for the presence of the Lord. Verse 3 there, we did not read that, but verse 3 says we are to trust and to do. Verse number 4 says we are to delight in Him and then to receive. We are, verse number 5, to commit and trust. Verse number 6 is a promise. And then verse number 7, wait. Just wait upon the Lord. He has a plan. He has something, and we are waiting. And while we are doing this, we can learn and meditate upon the good things of the Lord. Fret not thyself, he says two times here in these verses that I read. Fret not thyself because of the prosperity of the wicked. You see, that's really none of our affair. That's really none of our business. Don't be upset because somebody you know is doing better than you and they're wicked and they don't care about God and it seems like everything they do turns right and does right. Really, we are not to fret ourselves of that, and certainly we're not to be ashamed for waiting upon the perfect will of God in our life. God has turns and crooks in the road for us. God has hills for us to go over. God has valleys for us to go through. And even though we go in the valley of the shadow of death, He says, I'll be with you. Whatever turn we make, whatever curve there is, whatever pothole there might be in front, whatever stumbling stone that may be there, God has a plan for us to go around that. God has a way for us to overcome that in our life. And the way that we do that is just get acquainted with the Lord. Not just know Him as a Savior, but know Him as a friend that is there every step of the way. To realize and to know that He is there to clear up all the problems of life. To clear up our thinking. To clear up our questions. Nothing wrong with questioning some things. There's nothing wrong with having questions in our heart. And you know how you can get your answer about the questions is to get acquainted with the Lord through His Word. Get acquainted with the Lord through the book, through the Scriptures, and find that He is there waiting for us to call upon Him. Just as we wait for Him sometimes. excuse me, sometimes he is waiting for us. He waits for us to acknowledge him. He waits for us to bow our head before him. He waits for us to call upon him so that he can move on our behalf. So while I'm sitting in the waiting room and wondering where God is, I need to be finding the Lord in the Scripture. Finding the Lord in the Word of God. Be better acquainted with him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Don't worry about what's going on in front or behind. Don't worry about what's taking place in the world. Get alone with the Lord and find out what God has for you individually as a person. Because as I said a moment ago, he has a will for every one of us. Know him. Paul says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. Paul says, I don't want to just know about God. I don't want to just know about the Lord. I want to know him. Now, I know about a lot of people, but I don't know them personally. A lot of times a preacher will come to me that we have conversation, and he said, do you know so-and-so? And if I don't know them, I said, well, I know the name. I know who you're talking about, but I don't know them. I'm glad this morning that if somebody asks me if I know the Lord, I can say I know him. I'm glad I have a personal relationship with the Lord. Excuse me. And so this morning, when we're waiting upon God, we certainly can be better acquainted and have that walk with the Lord and that fellowship together. Number two, when we are waiting on the Lord, we can seek God's will even through hardship. Now this is a problem for every one of us. And the verse that I'm going to turn to and read is a verse that we have used many times, and some of you probably already know where I'm going, the book of Romans, and Romans chapter number 8. Romans is one of the, all the books are great in the Bible, but Romans is one of my favorite. In the Scripture, it has so much to say to us doctrinally, and has so much to say to us on a on understanding level that he has for us. And the Bible tells us in verse number 28, Romans 8:28, and we know. Now Paul is writing to the Christian. He's writing to people like you and I. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28 is a verse that is specifically to the child of God. It is not to the lost. And I've heard people use that verse that I know probably didn't know the Lord, said, well, the Bible says all things work to my good. No, it's all things work together for good to those that love God. You see, God, the Lord puts a stipulation on that. It's to those of us that love the Lord. All things work together for good. Well, preacher, how can these hard things work together? How can they all work in my behalf that is good for me when I am struggling with the issues, when I'm crying, when I'm hurting body, soul, and spirit? How can those things be good for me? Well, as we're waiting upon the Lord, those hardships teach us to seek the will of God. Paul certainly was well equipped in his personal life to be able to say, we know all things work together for good. Paul had a lot of struggles in his life. Paul had a lot of jail time. Paul had a lot of whippings and beatings and scourgings. Paul had a lot of enemies. Paul had a lot of friends that turned on him. Paul had everything happen in his life that could have happened to discourage him, but yet he said, I know it's all working for my good. I know it's working for my benefit, that the Lord can use even a hardship, can even use a difficulty to bring me closer to the relationship that I need to have with the Lord. Look at the man Job in the Old Testament. What hardships he went through. And I dare say, none of us this morning have ever experienced what Job did in his life. We have not lost it all, including children and family. But Job said, I'm still not going to curse God. Job realized that what he was going through was something that the Lord had placed upon him. Regardless of Satan's attack, regardless of these things, all things, Paul says. In verse 28, all things for good, all things for bad, all things that's bright, all things that's dark, all those things that are bitter and sweet, those things that are easy and hard, those that are happy and sad, all those that bring about prosperity or even poverty, health and sickness, calmness and storms, comfort and suffering, life and death, all things work together for good to those of us that are the called. That little phrase, the called, is very important. We are the called of God. God has stipulated, God has called us to be His children. And we are the called of God. He came to us one day and called our hearts, and we responded unto Him. It's those that are called, those that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Atoria writer of many years ago, he said, this verse is a soft pillow for a tired heart. And how true that is. We get tired of going through adversity. David said, my eyes, he said, I've cried so much, my eyes are affected. He said, I've cried so much that my throat is dry. The hardships come and it brings problems to us. Oh, but thank God there's the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and directs us. There is that wooing of the Spirit of God that says, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee, I'm there for you. And when we realize that these things are working for our good, and we may not understand it, we may not know that, we may not realize that. Abraham didn't know all the things that's happening in his life for his good until later in his life, right before he died. Joseph, he told his brothers, he said, God did all this for your good and our benefit. And Joseph had been sold and put in a pit and put in prison. All the years had passed by, and he said, but God's working it in my heart. So through the waiting room, we become acquainted with him. In the waiting room, we realize that hardships are there, but he is there also. He's there with us, and he's there to help us. Look at verse verse number 29 of Romans chapter 8. He says here, right after this verse that we just read, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now don't get all bent out of shape on these words here. The Scripture says that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. That means one day we're going to be just like the Lord. And God has predetermined that every believer, every person that's ever put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has determined beforehand that I'm one day going to be just like him. And you're going to have that same transition in your life. We're going to be like the Lord. And so Paul says here, these hard things come, we know they're for our good. He said, but for whom, those of us, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that, notice here, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are predestinated to be like the Lord. And when I'm sitting down in the waiting room and I'm murmuring and complaining why I don't know why God's not doing this or why God's not doing that, he is working those things in my life that one day I will be just like him. That I will have the very essence of the Lord. We'll be transported from this world, and we'll be in a new world. We'll be in heaven. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive remain when He comes. We're going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be just like Him. That'll be the fulfillment of verse number 29. We're predestinated to it. We have all followed the caskets. We've all followed the hearse to the cemetery. We've put our loved ones in the ground. And we have that hope. We have that belief. We have that understanding that one day they're going to rise. We're not like an animal, as the atheists teach and the agnostics teach. We're not like the beast of the field. We are created in the image of God. We are body, soul, and spirit. When we die, the Bible, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My mom, my dad, my grandmother, all those that I know in my heart and my mind that were saved, they are with the Lord right now. But you know, ever so often I go to the cemetery. And that's where you put the body. And what a blessed hope we have. Because one day they shall rise. One day they shall have the glorified body, and they shall be like the Lord. And even though they are gone, before they ever died, they were predestinated to become just like the Lord. Well, I can learn some things while I wait upon God. I can learn some personal things, even through hardship. And the hardship comes so I can be like the Lord, and one day shall take on the very presence and be just like Jesus Christ. One thing we better learn while we're in the waiting room is to understand that He is real, and understand that prayer is very important in our life. Turn back, Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." The disciples asked the Lord, said, "Lord," or they made the statement, it's not a question. They made the statement, "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't say, "Teach us how to pray." They just said, "Teach us to pray." How do we pray? Well, there's no set way. There's no set standard. Some people bow their head, some people bow their knees, some people, just a lot of different ways of praying. The most important part is not the position of the body, it's the position of the heart. It's the attitude of our soul. We can pray here, we do pray, we have altar prayer at times, we pray in our pew, we pray collectively, we pray together, individually. I can pray when I'm working, I can pray when I'm playing. I can pray when I'm driving. The Lord just tells us to pray, to seek His face. And when I'm waiting on God, that's the best thing to do, to just pray and wait upon Him. We don't need to ask the Lord how to pray. We just need the Lord to show us to pray. Important times of our life and those areas of our life. All this is going on now while I'm waiting for God to do something for me. I may find myself complaining. I need to be praying instead of complaining. My home preacher, years ago, I heard him say more than once, and I'm sure it was not original with him, but he said, "Why worry when you can pray? Why worry? Why fret? Why be discouraged when we can get along with the God of heaven?" The Lord that spoke us into existence. The Lord that gave us life. The Lord that gave us breath and give us a body that's so intricately made that advanced science can't even tell you how the brain operates and why it does what it does. But yet the Lord gave us that. And all He tells me to do is knock and it shall be opened. All He tells me to do is ask and it shall be given. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And so while I'm waiting, sometimes fretting and asking God, why am I having to wait? It may be that He wants me to pray. It may be that He wants me to realize one of these days it's all going to be over and I'm going to be like Him. Well, He may want me to know, even through my hardship, it's His will. Even though I don't understand it, may not know until I get to heaven why all these things might take place. And then lastly, when we are waiting on the Lord, through that hardship, we should become stronger, not weaker. I have seen it so many times in the ministry. When things doesn't go right, sickness comes, problems arise, somebody says, well, I'm just going to give up on God. That's when you need to run to God. That's when you need to run and cling unto Him. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. Verse number 31 is a very familiar verse. Isaiah 40 and verse number 31. The hardships ought to make us stronger, not weaker. Better, not bitter. Verse 31 of Isaiah 40 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They don't become weak. We that wait upon the Lord, we renew, we rekindle the strength that God has given to us. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Sounds like that's a pretty good proposition for waiting on the Lord. I'm going to be stronger. I'm not going to be weaker. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be able to run. I'm going to be able to fight. I'm going to be able to do whatever I need to do because of Him. And Joseph saw God's plan at the end of his life. I mentioned that just a moment ago. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 tells Joseph, talking to his brothers, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. At that moment, Joseph understood all the hardships. He said, you put me in the pit. You hated me because of jealousy and strife with the family. You put me there. You sold me into bondage. And you did it to treat me wrong and to treat me evil. He said, but God in the background was using it for something else. God was using it for my good, not only for my good, but for your good. And because Joseph was in Egypt, Israel was saved as a nation. They were able to be fed because of the wisdom of Joseph there in Egypt. The years of good came, they put back food. The years of famine came, and they were able to feed the world. Joseph said, you meant it for wickedness. God meant it for good. Paul saw God's plan in his hardships of his life. We can see God's plan sometimes in the hardship of our life. Why does it have? How many times it's been asked, why do bad things happen to good people? God has a plan. God has a mold, and He's using those things to one day present us unto Him faultless, and we'll stand before Him as whole. Rest in God's will. Rest in God's love. Rest in God's mercy. Rest in God's word. Rest in God's relationship. It just really comes down to the words, rest in the Lord. They that wait patiently, waiting patiently, Become better acquainted with him. Don't become bitter. Hardships come. And humanly speaking, fleshly ways are to go and be bitter. God says, no, don't do that. Get better acquainted with me. Understand me. We need to seek the Lord's will. The human flesh, the human nature says, I'll just leave God. You can't leave God when he is everywhere you go. But that's our idea. Well, if God's not going to bless me when I want him to bless me, I'm just not going to do anything else. There's a whole lot of people in Madisonville, Hopkins County, and the surrounding areas, and around this state, around this country, that are not in the house of God this morning, that are not serving God, because they got upset with God because God didn't move on their time frame. They did not learn to wait on the Lord. Learn to pray. Learn that difficulties make you stronger. And know that you may not understand why until you get there. Some things are kept from us for our good. And just say, I'm waiting. And I'll tell you what, as we wait, he will supply. Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the call that the Lord makes. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall find what? Rest for your souls. Not your bodies, not your mind, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When we're in God's waiting room, just learn he's still in control. Hard to learn that. Hard to say all things work together for good, but it's still the truth. And when we come to the realization of that truth, we'll learn so much of him. We'll come on the other side, and we'll be far better off spiritually than we were before the hardship came. Wait upon the Lord. Let's stand together this morning.